Please go ahead. This morning's conference call is now being recorded.
Thank you, Tim.
Okay, thanks. Welcome everyone to our GNSO Council call on the 27th of February. Especially warm welcome to those of you who are suffering from the very cold weather, and particularly those probably on the West Coast who've had to get up very early. I'm not sure if John Berard is on the call yet or anyone else who's had to
get up. Yes, he is.
Welcome, John, and good morning. Glenn, if you could proceed right away to take a roll call then. We've got Sally Costerton going to join us at 10 past, so we'll work through our preliminary items in the first 10 minutes.
Thank you, Jonathan. I'll do that. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. On the call, we have Ching Chow.
Present.
Jonathan Robinson.
Yes.
We have apologies from James Bladel, and his proxy has been given to Volker Greimann. Joris Kerry, I don't think he's on the call yet. And I don't think Brett Fawcett is on the call yet. Volker Greimann? Volker might be on mute. Thomas Rickert?
Present.
Gabriele Schlack?
Present.
John Berard?
I'm here.
Ryan Winterfeld?
Present.
Peter Winterfeld?
Present.
Oswaldo Nuova?
Here.
Mikey O'Connor?
Here.
Maria Farrell?
I'm here.
Avery Doria is absent and has given her proxy to Farrell. Magali Pazello?
Present.
Amar El-Sadar?
Present.
We have not yet Klaus Stoll on the call. Daniel Reed? I do not see him on the call either yet. Jennifer Wolf?
Yes, present.
Alan Greenberg?
Present.
Patrick Miles?
Present.
Thank you. And for staff, we have apologies from David Olive, who is traveling. And we have Marika Cornix, Julie Hedlund, Rob Hogarth, Barry Cobb, Lance Hoffman, our systems engineer, Eric Everard, myself, Glenn de Saint-Gervais, and have I left off, and Rob Hogarth. Have I left off anybody? Or has anybody joined since the roll call?
Yes, hi Glenn, Volker here. I needed to step out for just a second, and of course I missed my roll call.
Okay, Volker, thank you very much indeed. And may I just remind you, please, to state your name before speaking for the transcription purposes. Thank you, Jonathan, and then it's over to you.
Thank you, Glenn. It's Jonathan. Welcome again, everyone. Also, a reminder to please make sure that your microphone, your audio is on mute if you're not actively contributing to the meeting at the time. So we will proceed immediately to 1.2, which is an opportunity to provide statement of interest updates. And I see, Maria, your name is up there with an indication that you do have a statement of interest update, which is available to us all online. Would you like to say anything or add anything to that, Maria?
Thanks, Jonathan. It's Maria speaking. Just to say, just for people who don't, you know, who don't check it out online, I've started a new full-time position with Interconnect Communications, which is based in Chepstow in Wales. I'm actually working for Mark McFadden, for people who know Mark, and we are doing kind of internet governance and infrastructure consulting. And I've taken the position on the understanding of my new employers that I'm on the council, which they're quite very happy about, but that I cannot and will not enter into any consulting work with ICANN because that would be a conflict. So that's all well understood. So I don't expect there will be any problem. That's it. Thanks.
Thanks, Maria, and congratulations. So we should then go on to 1.3, which is an opportunity to comment or review or amend the agenda. I'll just pause for a moment and see if there are any comments on the agenda.
Jonathan, sorry, this is Glenn. Just to let you know that Sally Costerton is on the line with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Glenn. Welcome, Sally. We'll get to you in just a minute or two.
Thanks, Jonathan.
All right. So under 1.4, we
Jonathan, the minutes
for the previous count. Oh, sorry, Ching, your hand is up.
Thanks, Jonathan. I'd just like to point out for the items on the translation and transliteration of contact info working group. I believe that Julie has sent around some updates, and this is the update that we plan to have the co-chairs of the working group to provide updates. So I'd just like to point this out. Thanks.
Thanks, Ching. Under the next item, 1.4, we note the status of the previous council minutes. That's the 23rd of
January. Jonathan, sorry to interrupt you. This is Amr. I also have a question I would like to, if possible, add to any other business at the end of the meeting.
Yes. Would you like to just get that off the record now, or are you happy to hold off and just make sure?
Yeah, sure. It's just a question, a clarification I would appreciate regarding the process of the post-expert working group PDP.
Okay, Amr. Well, I've made a note of it, and let's make sure we cover that in under AOB.
Thanks.
So we normally would go through the action items now under item 2, and I will just cast my eye over them briefly. Many of them come up under the main agenda in any event, so that is we will cover in later in the meeting, planning for the Singapore meeting, any relevant discussion on the prospective review of the GNSO, the multi-stakeholder innovation panel item we will come to. There's a number of completed items. We've got data and metrics for policymaking, the working group on that. A second announcement was sent out. Is there anything that we need to add under this item? Are we have we received a call for volunteers, or do we want to remind people? Mikey?
Thanks, Jonathan. It's Mikey. We are well underway. We've scheduled the first meeting. I can't recall exactly, but soon. We got a pretty good response from the call for volunteers, although there's always room for more. And so the train is leaving the station.
Thanks, Mikey. It's just that my note on the action say it will be announced at the February Council meeting to attract additional volunteers. So we know you're on the way. And if anyone would like to join you, they can get involved now. Good. We have an item on internet governance, and we agreed there to invite Sally. And, of course, Sally is on the call, so we'll come to that in just a moment. There's an open item for me to continue to explore with Patrick, the interrelationship with the ESAC, and that remains open. And then we will come to a newly added item, which is relates to whether or not we should prepare a comment for submission on the work of the ICANN future meeting strategy team or group. So that's a whistle-stop tour of the action item list. I will just pause a moment in case there's anything else or any comments on the project list. I'd encourage all councillors to just keep a regular eye on this. If you could somehow diarize it, just cast your eye over the action items. It keeps a very good track of what's going on, and in particular the project review as well, just at least prior to the meetings. I'm sure you probably all do that, but just a reminder, it gives a very good summary of what's going on, and you'll feel close to the landscape of activity if you do that. Good. So seeing no additional comments or input, I think, on the items 1 and 2, and I note that we have Yoav Keren in the chat, so Glenn, let's just take a moment. Yoav, are you on the audio at this stage?
Yes, I am. Sorry for being a little late. Yeah.
Great. Welcome, Yoav, and we will accordingly mark you as present.
Hello. This is Klaus. I'm also just joined.
Welcome, Klaus, and we'll do the same with you. item four, there is nothing under item three, the consent agenda, so there's nothing to consent to there. And then under item four, we move this up the agenda. And just to remind you all why this is on the agenda, this was recognized, the issue of international internet governance, as a topic of significant interest and activity. And that's pretty much self-evident by virtue of all the traffic on our mailing lists, our various mailing lists, the number of items in and around the ICANN website and MyICANN and so on. And so the council really decided to put this for the moment as a standing item on our agenda to make sure we tracked it, remained informed, and responded to any areas of activity. One of the requests that was made or within the council was that if at all possible, we'd like to receive some form of update and descriptive update for input into that continuing awareness from someone who was well qualified to do so, and it was suggested that we invite Sally Costerton to join us, who's someone who's likely to be very close to what's going on. And so Sally very kindly agreed to join us and is on the call. So I think with that very brief background, unless you need more, Sally, we should hand over to you and ask you if you'd be so kind as to give us really a sketch update as to where we're heading with all of this. And I suppose the final comment I'd make is there were some questions or issues suggesting that this was sort of being distracting and taking a lot out of it. So what we really need to know is what's going on and be well informed so that we know, as far as the council is concerned, what, if any, action we should be taking from as well informed a position as possible. So let me hand over to you, Sally, now. And thank you again for joining us.
Thank you, Jonathan. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Good, just checking. Thank you, and thank you for inviting me to talk to you today. And I'm happy to answer questions as well, whatever is helpful. Let me just give you a bit of an update from my perspective. I am personally more familiar with some of the details than others, but I can certainly give you an overview, and I can tell you, if it's not my particular area where I'm actually managing the program, I can tell you who is and how, and help Glenn and her team point you in the right direction if there are any gaps, because there's absolutely no reason why this group or anyone else in the ICANN community shouldn't be completely up to speed with these kinds of activities. I think that's very desirable. So thank you very much for taking the initiative. Okay, let's deal with there are three main streams that ICANN is engaged with right now around the internet governance arena. In terms of setting it in its strategic context, I think you're probably all very aware of that, and you've all been very energetically participating in the discussions around why ICANN needs to engage with it at all. We covered that extensively at the Buenos Aires meeting, so I'm not proposing to go back to that today. And the three streams that are involved are the OneNet initiative, the high-level, what we've called the high-level panel. When we were in Buenos Aires, this was then referred to as the fifth panel, and it's now being referred to as the high-level panel, which is an ICANN panel, the fifth of the strategy panel. And the meeting in Brazil in the third week of April, which has stopped being called the Brazil meeting, and is now being referred to by its correct name, which is Net Mundial. So I can go through each one of those in turn if that's helpful. Would that be useful, Jonathan?
I think so, Sally. I think it would be very good to get any of your highlights of sort of recent developments and any sort of context setting as to, you know, the
okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay, just before I dive in that case, so when we were in Buenos Aires, it was very obvious to everybody in the community that things were moving very quickly outside ICANN, the sort of immediate ICANN community sphere, driven by a number of external factors, which I think we're all very familiar with, to do with the changing profile, should we say, or rather the greatly increased profile, that the question of, well, who runs the internet, and who do we go and talk to if we're a government or we're a business leader? And much of that had been triggered by the intense amounts of coverage that had been we'd been exposed to throughout the end of the summer and into the autumn when we met in Argentina around the revelations around the Snowden issues. But the question of internet governance, of course, had been very close to the ICANN heart for a long time, long before that. So what changed during the summer was really that suddenly it was as though the rest of the world had woken up and realised that, oh, my God, we need to think about it. We've been either we don't know how the internet is organised and run, or we know that we're not very interested in it. We think somebody else is looking after it. And so in the developed world, the question was, well, oh, okay, we need to pay attention to this. We need to think about this. We need to understand it better. And, of course, it also brought out many of the issues that had shown themselves at the wicket the previous year around the great polarisation between different government positions about how internet resources should be managed in the future. Set against that was the extremely full calendar of events this year, as in 2014, you've been seeing moving around the community a series of graphics, one particular one that Olivier and the CCWG group have been using, showing the enormous amount of different meetings in different fora in different parts of the world that are examining this question. Coming from slightly different perspectives, but all really focusing on similar things, which is what kind of frameworks, what kind of principles should the community look at for the future in terms of how do we deal with not just what we have today, the issues we have today, but the issues that we seem unable around the world to find any way of resolving, which has been referred to sometimes as orphan issues, which is a rather nasty expression, and the perception being in many quarters, well, you know, these just can't be fixed. Issues like spam, issues like cybersecurity, they're nothing to do with the existing sort of mechanisms for resolving, for governing internet resources. And there's kind of no sense that anybody understands or thinks about how that might, you know, they think about them intensively, but there don't seem to be solutions coming. And this breeds a lot of frustration, particularly among governments who really want to try and find some answers to those. The set of the other issue playing in the background, of course, is the UN agenda. And the march towards the meeting in October in South Korea, looking at the renegotiation or the discussion of the ITR, the mandate, the scope, if you will, of the ITU, and the sort of existential question: is the ITU going to start to try to redesign its mandate in order to take over control of, or try to take over control of some or all of the resources that are governed on Earth? Make up the governance of the internet, both their current mandate, which is very telco-focused. And everybody on this call will know that this topic is creating an enormous amount of debate, a lot of heat in our community. A meeting going on, for example, at the moment, which some of our colleagues are at in Geneva, looking at this from a CSTD perspective, and so forth. So that's the background. You say, well, why should we be spending time and energy on it? And I think we touched on this a lot in Buenos Aires. The view collectively is, well, we can't afford not to be. And if we don't collectively engage in this debate, then others may do it for us, and we may see a future that we don't feel at all comfortable with. So what happened after Buenos Aires, in particular, three things sort of kicked off, really. The first thing was that OneNet, in a way, was kind of born in Argentina. And OneNet isn't an ICANN initiative. It is many people from the ICANN community participating in it, but it goes beyond the ICANN community. And OneNet has become, I think, so far a discussion forum where these kinds of issues are being debated in a great deal of detail, especially starting to look at the question of frameworks and principles, trying to understand, well, what did we do in the past? This debate has been rolling for more than 10 years. How do we consolidate some of our thinking as we come into this long stream of events this year? The second thing that happened is that the ICANN community itself formed a cross-community working group to collect, I think is the best word, to discuss and collect inputs to these processes, the first one of which being the Net Mundial meeting in April, but not limited to that, to ensure that the ICANN community is being reasonably coordinated and has the opportunity to discuss in a very bottom-up way how it feels these things should be represented. And that's being co-chaired by Rafik and Olivier Crepin-Leblanc. And that group is now reaching a point where it is, I think, just meeting every week, and it will put forward a submission to Net Mundial by the 8th of March, which is the deadline for that, which I'll come back to. OneNet has now got a steering committee. It's meeting regularly. It's establishing itself quite nicely, I would observe. The website, we had a few glitches to start with because it took quite a long time to cross over from the list system to a web system, which has now happened quite well, I think. And there is still discussion happening on the OneNet list, but most of that discussion is now happening actually on the site in a curated form so people can follow discussion strings by topic rather than having these very, very long email trails that are taking up lots of storage space in everybody's inboxes. OneNet is the partner for Net Mundial. And let me move on to that now. Net Mundial is taking place in Sao Paulo on the 23rd and 24th of April. It's immediately after Easter. As you probably know, we have a very late Easter this year. It is being hosted physically by the Brazilian government, but it is by Dilma Rousseff, in fact, not the Brazilian government. It's being hosted under her auspices. The meeting has four co-chairs representing the multi-stakeholder model. So Virgilio Almeida, Professor Virgilio Almeida, who many of you may know, who is the Minister for Science in Brazil and also the chair of CGI, representing government. And also he has been asked by President Rousseff to oversee this event. Jeanette Hoffman from the civil society grouping. Fadi Shahadi from the, I think you all know who Fadi is, from the technical community, and Andilia Nkabo, who is from the business community from South Africa, who many of you may know, a very successful internet entrepreneur. So there's an attempt to represent different geographies as well as different stakeholder groups. The committees, and there are two main committees involved. There's the Executive Multi-Stakeholder Committee, which is the operational group that is looking after the organization of the event itself. Again, a multi-stakeholder group co-chaired by Raul Echeverria and Demi, I've forgotten Demi's surname, also part of CGI from the academic community. And this group is meeting, I think, every week, 10 days at the moment, to look at issues of who should be invited, what's the process, how is the content put through, you know, really managing the process around the events and overseeing it in a consultative way. The high-level committee, which is chaired by the Minister of Telecoms for Brazil, Paulo Bernardo, met for the first time this week, just gone, in Brazil at Mobile World Congress, and they had a face-to-face meeting and some remote access. And this is a combination of high-level government representatives and also some other participants that have been invited by Bernardo too. This is really an oversight group. I don't anticipate this is going to have a lot of executive activity or even to meet that frequently. Its primary goal is to reach out into the embassies of governments worldwide to make sure that there's good attention and good attendance. As well as the rest of the attendance from other stakeholders, which I will come on to. So it's not just about reaching into governments to invite government representatives, it's reaching into governments to make sure they bring their communities and they take this opportunity. Not physically bring them in a delegation, but they raise awareness of the need to register for the community, for the event, I'm so sorry. The other thing you should be aware of is that you probably know this, that there is now a full-time secretariat, which is being done under the auspices of CGI under Hartmut Glaser, run by somebody called Daniel Fink, who is also Brazilian and is based in Sao Paulo, actually physically running the event. So he's running the secretariat. There's one more committee, which is the logistics committee, which is looking after the issues around the venue, remote access, and so forth. The key dates that you should be aware of, I think most people do know this, but I'll repeat them. The last date for registration of interest to attend the event is tomorrow, February the 28th. So if you would like to go to the event, or anybody in your community would like to go to the event, and you think they may not have registered, please do ask them to go to netmundial.org and register. They don't have to go, but if they don't register, then the organizers won't know that they want to go. It's free, free entry for anybody who can register. If it is oversubscribed, there is a capacity limitation in the venue of around 900 people. Then they will, the Executive Multi-Stakeholder Committee will take a look at the list and make some recommendations. So, for example, if organizations have applied for many, many people to come, they'll probably, I imagine, they would go back and make some suggestions that they might trim that group. But it, really, it's at that kind of pragmatic level. At the moment, the registrations are running in the high 400s. I don't know whether there'll be a sudden rush, sort of midnight tomorrow night. But as things stand at the moment, and I saw Daniel, he was at Mobile World Congress, I was there this week with Fadi, it's looking reasonable. It looks like we shouldn't have too much of a problem with oversubscription, which is obviously much easier for everybody. The other date you should be aware of is the deadline for submission. Now, on the NetMundial site, very critically, submissions are being asked from anybody who would like to submit ideas on either principles or frameworks. And there are two different ways, there are two different sections to do that, and instructions on how to do that on the website. It's very simple. The deadline for that is March the 8th. That's been extended. It was March the 1st. It's now March the 8th. So seven more days to make sure that everybody gets has the opportunity to put their submissions in. And they're starting to come in now. They will all be made public. And you're starting to see some sort of interesting ideas emerging there. The final agenda will be published. I'm just making an estimate. I'm not in charge of this, but my expectation is the agenda for the meeting will probably be published in the early part of April, maybe the end of the first week, so quite close up to the event itself, because obviously the committee was going to have a look at all the submissions and work out how best to tackle those during the event itself. The final thing I'll touch on is the high-level panel. This, I think most of you know, is me having three face-to-face meetings. They had one just before Christmas in London. They're having another one today, in fact, and tomorrow in California, in Sunnyland. And they're having a final one in May in Dubai. So the purpose of the high-level panel is they are looking at principles and frameworks. They will make a submission to the Brazil meeting, but their remit will extend beyond the end of the Brazil meeting. And that submission is likely to, so you'll be able to see that submission when it's sent in. Last point on the Brazil meeting, which I hope is helpful, is scope and focus. The purpose of this meeting is not obviously to fix spam or cybersecurity issues. The purpose is to look at, is there a way in which the world can come together to agree principles and frameworks of how those issues might get looked at in the future? Not fixing them. And I think it's very helpful, and it would be very useful for the people on this call to do a couple of things. One is to make sure that communities are aware that they ought to register by tomorrow if they're going to. The second is to raise awareness of submission of ideas and principles and frameworks. And the third is to be prepared to answer any questions about scope. So being very, very clear that this is going to be an event to look at getting hopefully some agreement around principles and frameworks, not to solve the problems itself. And that is important to be clear about, I think. I think that's probably the key points I was going to raise, Jonathan. I'm happy to take any questions.
Salim, thank you. That's really excellent. And I think the key point here is there is massive traffic around this, and it's very hard for some or all of us who aren't solely or significantly preoccupied with it to see the wood for the trees. And I think you've done a very good job of bringing those key points out to us. So I think that's very useful. And more than that, we can make available, and we'll let people know, this is an open transcript and recorded meeting, so we can get this information out, and I think others beyond, and that really from a GNSO perspective and perhaps even beyond is particularly useful. I think one of the things that struck me very, very strongly was that you also put in the position that you felt that and reiterated what's probably been said before, that ICANN cannot afford not to participate in this, because there's clearly one of the questions I hear asked is, you know, why did we, you know, how necessary was it to have got involved or as involved as we are or appear to be? So I think that's an important point to make, whether others agree with it or not. I mean, the position is, from your point of view, that ICANN could not afford to have not got involved, and then having taken that premise, you've done a very good job of setting the scene for us. So thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Jonathan. There's probably a couple of other points I should make just on the Singapore meeting, if this is helpful. One of the we are making sure that this is from an ICANN staff perspective now. We're doing our very best to maximize the time that we all have together in Singapore. It's obviously quite close to the run-up to the Brazil meeting, Jeanette Mundial, must call it the Brazil meeting. And there are a series of events that are going on in Singapore, which I think probably this group is aware of, but just in case they're not, Bill Drake and the NCUC are having a full-day event on Friday, the 21st. I recognize this is before the official start date of the conference itself, of the ICANN meeting. I had a look at it yesterday. I will be there and make some introductory comments and take any questions, much like on this call. I'm hoping that Daniel Fink will be there, who's the Brazil Secretariat, NetMundial Secretariat head. There's a very full list or a very full agenda, some very interesting panels. I noticed that Larry Stripling will give a summary address at the end. So I'm pretty sure that for anybody who is going to be in Singapore that just before the meeting starts, this is going to be a pretty much drained-up view of the issues. Including some of the really difficult issues that inevitably come up when we get into this discussion. And I'm not doing a sales job for Bill. I'm just saying that is now in place and the agenda is up. And I think that's one of them. The other immediate sort of public opportunity will be on Monday. The SOAC chair groups have very kindly ceded their slot to the CCWG. To allow an open session on these topics on the first day, official day of the Singapore meeting, much as we did in Buenos Aires. So there will be two or three, I think, significant kind of bites of the cherry for the community to really get their teeth into and engage in where we are now, and for everybody to debate that a little more. And I think just to make that clear.
Thanks, Sally. I think we're keen to get some Q&A in, and I'll just note for the record that when Fadi gave a recent update to the chairs of the SOs and ACs, he highlighted the importance of this issue at Singapore, and as you've clearly indicated, there'll be time for it, but also that there are a couple of other critical themes to Singapore, and he was very keen that this wasn't the only theme of the Singapore meeting, but let's not get drawn on to all of the Singapore for the moment. I see John Berard has a question, and so, John, let me let you go ahead and ask that.
Sure. Good morning, Sally. It's nice to have you with us today. I have two questions, really. One is a fairly tactical one. You may not be aware, Sally, but I serve as this council's liaison to the CCNSO Council, and they had a specific question about NetMundial, and I wonder if it's the kind of thing that rises to the level of being addressed. The three categories of participation did not seem to make room for CCTLD managers. I asked the question, you know, it was government, the business, and civil society, and they didn't really know where they fit in. I wonder if that tactical question from the CCTLD managers is a metaphor, perhaps, for other ways in which the ongoing Internet governance discussions in all of its form are not leaving room for or making room for the individual community members of ICANN. So tactically, and then leading to something a little bit more strategic. And then the other thing that is a little higher level, and I ask only because you say, you know, you do travel with Fadi and are with him in some of these conversations about Internet governance. It has struck me that the Snowden revelations have provided excellent cover for political intent to gain advantage where none had previously existed. And I was just curious, does Fadi see a link between the role of the U.S. government and the management of the domain name system and the ability of the U.S. government to surveil? I mean, quite honestly, it really wouldn't make much difference who managed the IANA contract. Hackers and government agencies are always going to be involved. I was just curious as to where he, what public position he takes in those meetings. So thank you, Sarah.
Okay. That's a good, very good, two very good questions. I just want to make sure I understood the first one clearly. I definitely understand the second one. So the first point you're saying is that you don't, there's a perception there is no space, no opportunity for CCTLD managers to attend NetMundial. Is that what you, is that right?
That's the tactical question that leads to a broader question of is there room for the community in all of this?
Okay, got it. Okay, so let's take the first one first, and this is a personal observation. From my engagement with it. In the early stages of the formation of the Executive Multi-Stakeholder Oversight Committee, NetMundial, there was a lot of debate about, you know, how to create an invitation structure for the meeting. There was a lot of debate. And a lot of to and fro about who should do it and how they should do it, who should be invited in what kind of buckets of, and so on and so on and so on. And they came up with this idea that it should be an open registration meeting, and they have been very keen to reinforce that point that there is no barrier to entry. Everybody is welcome. It's a kind of a first come first serve process in terms of the registration. And they've been very clear that there is a capacity limit at the venue, as there always is. I mean, the IGF would have the same issue. Frankly, ICANN would have the same issue, as you know. And there is a very, very comprehensive remote access process being put in place to allow for anybody who cannot or doesn't want to attend in person. So I would say from my observation, there is absolutely no restriction on anybody attending or participating in the meeting. Quite the opposite. There is a very strong desire coming from the NetMundial organizers that they want to hear from everybody's voices, partly because it makes for better input and partly because, of course, it will increase the legitimacy of any output, if you like. So I would very much encourage that to happen through your liaison, not with the CCNSO or indeed any other community at ICANN. To the second question, what is Fadi's position on, is there a link between surveillance issues and the US's oversight of stewardship of the signature on the AOC, which I think is your second question. Well, yes, you know, it will not surprise you that this question comes up a lot. Fadi and I have just been in Barcelona together at the Mobile World Congress, and he addressed the board of the GSMA in a private session, and we also had a whole range of bilaterals with governments and private sector, including mobile operators, but also other organizations. And he also did a keynote at the ministerial meeting. And we got asked a lot of questions about the longer-term plans for the globalization of ICANN. And people have very strong opinions about this, as you might expect. I would say that the our view, and therefore I would say Fadi to you, ICANN to you, we don't have a particular view in the way you framed it. But I think there is a realization inside the US that clearly the revelations have, you know, dented the credibility of the US government. I mean, there's just no way that can't be seen to be the case. So if you look back to, say, the Wicket, where the US were taking, you know, a very strong view about how the future structures would work, in fact, the sort of existing structure should be kept exactly as is without any real changes. And the enormous frustration that came away, the sort of huge polarization that came out of the wicket, and a lot of frustration being expressed with the US. Now, after Snowden, that inevitably shifts a bit. So I wouldn't put it beyond that, other than he and I have said publicly that this has clearly, changed to some extent the US government's ability to be perhaps as strong in this argument about the existing model as they might have been in the past. But this is not necessarily all bad, because it ensures that we need to involve other voices at the table even more so than before. So I hope that's helpful. But we have no sort of formal position on any particular links or anything like that, or certainly not one that I've been made aware of.
Yeah, just a point of information. You should get your hands on the transcript of the remarks made by Richard Clark at the RSA conference in San Francisco this week. He addresses specifically the fact that the two issues are as far apart in practice as one might find. Richard Clark, of course, being the former cybersecurity lead for both President Bush and then President Obama. Thank you, Sally. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks, John.
That's okay.
I've got Maria with hand up next with a question relating to this.
Thanks, Jonathan. It's Maria Farrell here. Sally, this is kind of the only opportunity I think we will have at the moment to express a certain concern, which is with the board's resolution last week regarding globalization. As you know, the non-commercial committee constituency has generally been very supportive of FADI's initiatives in that regard, but I think we're not alone in having some disquiet at the top-down nature of the decision-making, the lack of consultation, the lack of discussion with the rest of the community, and the appointment of yet another CEO-determined set of committees or panels to go away and talk about something. There's an awful lot of CEO-led activity going on, and while some of us are very sympathetic with the overall aims, others aren't. And I think the council has had some discussion, one, about what, if anything, we should do, and two, whether it's the council's role. So, I really wanted to express to you the disquiet that there is amongst many people in the community about this continuation of ad hoc processes of CEO-appointed panels and of a lack of consultation and genuinely substantive discussion rather than process-oriented discussion with key people in the community.
Okay, Maria, thank you. I'm glad you gave me this opportunity, actually, because I noticed that the board chair, Steve Crocker, sent out quite a long email on one of the lists this week on this precise question. I don't know if you've seen this, and I can't remember which list it was on. I think it must have been on the OneNet list, because I saw it in my inbox, so that tells me it's on the OneNet list. So I can ask Glenn or the team here on the call from staff to make sure that your group, the council, have all seen that email from Steve.
Yes,
it covers quite a long email, and it responds.
Two quick comments for you, Sally. One that we haven't seen that email, so yes, it would be great to get hold of that and make sure the council has seen it. I take it that's addressing these board advisory committees.
Yes.
Second, Maria is accurate in representing the disquiet, and it sounds like you are willing to discuss this, and that's great if you are, but I should say that we did ask you to talk specifically about the sort of internet governance landscape, so I would understand if you weren't as well.
Thank you. I was just going to make one comment, which I hope is helpful. So, first of all, I think it's a good idea to read Steve's email, because he lays out the board's view about this in quite a lot of detail, and I personally think it's a very helpful clarifying note. The second point is that in my understanding, and this is for me with my engagement hat on, is that the board groups are there, my understanding is they are there to facilitate the discussion that you describe. That is their role. Now, that may not have been as effectively communicated as it should have been in the announcement of the board resolutions. It may be for some people, it may not be for others. But I wanted to take this opportunity to say that, you know, they will be in Singapore, they will be given a public slot, which Buddy has asked me to organise with the meetings team. So it's very, you know, it's very important that you know that their role is there to facilitate community discussion and debate at as a substantive level as possible. That's my understanding. And as I say, I've been asked to facilitate that process in Singapore with the usual remote access translation scribing and so forth.
Thank you, Sally.
Thanks, Maria. Thanks, Sally. Just to make a note for the record that Avery Doria, who's a counsellor and very involved in this, I think she's at the Geneva meeting at the moment, or meetings, would very much like to have participated and contributed to this discussion. So I think it's worth recording that and noting that she unfortunately had to give that. But I'm sure she'll be coming in, and there are some proposals that she's working on and making sure that some of the divisions and segmentation that's been done may need further discussion, and you know, I won't speak for Avery, but I'm sure she'll contribute on list and bring in her very valuable contribution in future as well. I'm not seeing any other hands up, and I am mindful of the time. Whilst, you know, we've got this sort of contradiction, whilst this is an important and critical overarching issue, it is not the only issue on the business of the council or the community at large. So unless there are other questions, or Sally, you would like to make any other closing remarks, I mean, let me just pause for a moment and just see if there's anything else you feel you'd like to say before we wrap up this part of our agenda.
I just want to thank you for giving me this opportunity. I think this is moving very fast. There are many different moving parts. The most important thing from our perspective is that there is really good quality engagement, and that we strive to achieve that to the very best of our collective abilities, and that we hear as many voices as possible, and that we listen to each other. That is not designed. It sounds a bit trite hearing you say it, but it really, really isn't. It's really important. So I hope that anything you can do to help me and my team and FADI do that in the most effective possible way, whether it's on calls, whether it's on lists, whether it's at the ICANN meetings or other meetings, please let me know. My door is very much open to that, as I know FADI's is. And thank you very much for this opportunity. I look forward to seeing, I think, most of you probably in Singapore, I hope so.
Yes, so thank you very much, Sally. I think David's hand has come up at the last minute, so let me just, in case David, you would like to talk, let me just pause one moment, and if I could ask you to keep it reasonably brief, but go ahead, David.
My question was really just for Sally. There's plenty of us who are involved as individuals here, but is there anything specific that you think would be valuable for us to do as a council or as, you know, stakeholder groups or whatever?
It's a great question. I think the most important thing is reach out to your communities and encourage them to register for NetMundial if they want to be there in person, but also to know that they will have a good opportunity to engage remotely, and encourage them to see this as something that is additive, that is important. And we, you know, everybody wants to make sure their voices are heard. That's probably the most important thing. The other thing I haven't mentioned today, but I'll just leave it as a final thought to you, and again, Glenn can make the links available to you. If you haven't read it, take a look at the report that we just commissioned that's just been published by the by Boston Consulting Group, which contains the e-friction index. In it, you will find all sorts of useful ammunition to help you in your outreach to different communities in the business community and in the government community, in particular, but not exclusively, which demonstrates for the first time the GDP cost or indeed opportunity of the open internet, of the internet that we enjoy today, and the risk to that of fragmentation. And I hope that you'll find it useful. And there are 65 separate country dashboards, as well as an overall report, which is very much put in your bag and read on a plane, kind of Harvard Business Review style, not too hard, and quite a good read. So let me know if you what you think of it, and if you want hard copies to use with your communities, again, let me know, and I can make that available for you. It is a download of a PDF on the ICANN.org website as well. So
yes,
I hope you'll find that useful.
Thanks for that, Sally. That is helpful, and actually, in fact, you know, my view, David, for what it's worth, is that part of what we have done as a council here is assisted Sally in her role as in engagement and communications, but also the GNSO by getting this distillate. I hope it's just a sensible contribution we can make. Ching, I see your hand has come up, and I'm just mindful that we should, if you could keep it very brief.
Jonathan, I'll be very brief on this one, and I'd like to also praise for Sally's update and the engagement team, especially my personal experience in the Asia Pac. They have done tremendously a good job trying to engage the contracted, I mean, especially the newly contracted registries and registrars. But I actually also like to offer the suggestion is that the engagement actually it means to us is that not only just to engage people and to we actually like to be more engage to actually participate on the actual meetings, for example, the one next month, on April in Brazil. So my point is that engaging is not, it does not mean only that you talk to people in the region and you can speak on behalf of them, but we're seeing that engaging means that you really bring the people to the meeting table in Brazil or in any other meetings that ICANN or other organizations will be hosting will be love to to be there and actually to contribute. Thanks.
Okay, absolutely. Again, please register, please engage. ICANN is this is why I'm on this call, is to do precisely what you just described, which is to let you know that it's happening, to let you know how to engage. And how to register so that you can participate and to encourage you to do exactly that. So, yes, you're completely preaching to the converted, and thank you for your kind comments about the Asia Engagement Team, and I'll share that feedback. Much appreciated.
All right. I think we really should draw a line under things then now. But, I'll voice my thanks, Sally, my personal thanks, and also on behalf of the council. It's really great. It's very useful, and I hope this will help propagate the message or messages that have been discussed here. So, wonderful.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Okay, bye-bye, everybody. Thanks a lot. See you in Singapore. Okay,
yes.
Bye.
Thanks a lot. All right, everyone. Well, I hope that met the purpose that we intended it to. I certainly feel it was informative and potentially very useful. And I'd encourage you to make your respective groups and communities aware of this content within the council meeting, and therefore that the groups can be used this as part of being informed. Moving on then to our next item, item 5, and just to remind everyone that we obviously have time constraints. This has been nominally allocated 10 minutes, so if we could keep it reasonably tight, that would be useful. This is an opportunity to receive an update from the PDP Working Group on Translation and Transliteration that was specifically requested by a councillor, that's Ching Chow, of the Registry Stakeholder Group, and I believe a working member of this group. But in addition, we have the privilege of having the co-chair of the working group here to provide that update. So, Ching, if I could ask you to just briefly introduce the item, and, of course, if both of you could be aware of the time constraint.
Sure, Jonathan, thanks. This is Ching for the recording. So this working group has already launched its work since our last face-to-face meeting in Buenos Aires. And the one of the co-chairs, Chris, very generously, he's able to make himself available to share the updates with us for the work. So without further ado, let me pass the mic to Chris. Chris.
Thank you very much, Ching. This is Chris Dillon for the recording. Can you hear me?
Hearing you loud and clear, Chris.
Thank you very much. Okay, well, let's just go through this presentation quickly, and I'll just highlight various parts of it. So The PDP working group began its work in December last year. And at the end of January, we sent out a request for input on various issue questions, which I will bring up later in the call. The deadline for the input is actually tomorrow, but, I don't think we're going to turn it away. We would still be grateful to have it. Could I have the next slide, please? Thank you. These are the... it's slide three. Thank you. These are the main questions that the working group are addressing. So it's, should local contact information be translated into one language, or should it be transliterated into one script? And then who should decide who should bear the burden, either to translate or transliterate? So everything really supports that. Could I have the next slide, please? There are several other relevant groups that we are in constant contact with. I won't go through them now because we don't have the time. Could we have the next slide, please? There will be information about what we're doing on the wiki, which we really use as a way for other people to look at what we're doing and just get into it quite quickly without listening to all of our telephone calls. I'll give the address for the wiki on the last slide. So the questionnaire that we sent out, and we've had replies from, very, very good replies, in fact, from the European Union and from Thailand. We would really welcome more replies. Addresses these questions. So it's, the first one is very similar to what I was just mentioning, but also what are the benefits of transliterating or translating? What should be mandatory here? Who should it be mandatory for? Are we only talking about certain scripts, or is it all scripts? Could I have the next slide, please? Impact this may have on validation on the current and future versions of WHOIS or similar systems. When would policy come into effect? The cost questions that I was mentioning before. Could I have the next slide, please? The next pieces of work we will be doing are reviewing the answers to those questions that we've just sent out, also looking at work in other groups, here we have at the end of the slide is the link to really more or less everything we're doing, which is the wiki. I think it's probably time to ask the questions. Is there anything anybody would like to pick up?
Thank you, Chris. It's Jonathan. That was very succinct, very clear, and useful. I know Ching is particularly keen that we retain a strong awareness of this item and the work of this working group. So it's relatively unorthodox for us to have an update during the course. We normally keep on this kind of meeting, we normally have them at the face-to-face meetings, but I very much appreciate that you managed to keep it right. So are there any comments, questions, or discussion points on this? Ching.
Thanks, Jonathan, and thanks, Chris. I would just also like to thank Chris for the update and for his hard work with Udi, and just to let you know that the registry will be submitting the comment, but we just need some extra days to work on it. I will also encourage other constituency and groups to submit comments. It's actually the questions that the working group helped put together actually deepen the original IRD report. So it's now at the stage to find out the solution for the contact info in the internationalized format. So I'd like to encourage everyone to go back to your constituency and then provide input. And thanks.
Thanks, Ching. And make no mistake, this kind of work is the bread and butter work of the GNSO policy process and the work that the council is primarily in place to commission and manage. So it's a timely reminder of what we could and should and are, be doing and, in fact, are doing. So that's very useful. Are there any other comments or questions for Chris or Ching on this? Well, thank you very much, both of you, for keeping your hard work on the agenda and in the front of mind of the council. And as Ching said there's some registry stakeholder group comments in the pipeline. So any of others of you who are in a position to influence input from your groups to the request for input from the working group, please do take this as a reminder to do so. Good. Thank you again, Chris. I think we'll draw that item to a close unless there's anything else you need us to be aware of.
No, it's all been said. Encourage people other groups to send in answers to the questionnaire. We will hold we'll hold off that deadline at least for a few days, but we would be very grateful. And thank you very much for this opportunity.
Great, thanks, Chris. And I know what it's like. You need to have some input, and there's nothing as disheartening as putting out something like a questionnaire and then seeing the responses not come back. So please do, councillors, take this as a reminder to your groups to contribute if at all possible. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
All right, good. Our next item is item 6, then, which is an opportunity to get an update and have some additional discussion on the GNSO engagement with the work of the ICANN strategy panels. And probably whilst this remains a generic item, it's clear from both our discussions on the list that this is an item that causes some levels of interest, and in particular that of the work of the multi-stakeholder innovation panel. So a couple of remarks from myself to kick this off. You will notice a few things that have happened. There's been a news alert come out from ICANN in the last couple of days indicating that there is a public comment period now open to comment on the output of the strategy panels. There has also been a meeting held by Fadi Chehadi and David Olive where this is a periodic update that's now starting to take place where Fadi gives a direct hour of update and discussion with the leadership of the SO and ACs, and that includes, as far as the GNSO is concerned, the stakeholder group and constituency chairs, as far as I recall. And it's important there to, I think Fadi touched on this from memory in that meeting, and I'd encourage those of you that are interested in hearing more, the transcript and audio is available from that. But on the role and how these panels will be input and their role in inputting into the strategy process. So I'm aware that many of you question or have concerns about, you know, this context that Maria mentioned earlier of the top-down or, you know, the lack of ability to have influenced the inception of these. So in order to be as well informed as possible in critiquing that, I'd encourage you to hear what Fadi said on that call if you haven't already. And so that's a point to note. As far as the multi-stakeholder panel itself is concerned, there were some additional proposals from their work. I mean, their work contains some 16 proposals for potential consideration, and so there were additional proposals posted today. As directed by the council and on the back of our discussions, I've reached out and attempted to engage with the multi-stakeholder innovation panel, and that did get off to a little bit of a slow start, in but recently, as in 2 weeks ago and yesterday, I've had two meetings with Beth Novak, who chairs that panel, and yesterday with a couple of members of her team. And really, the meetings, I think the content of those meetings can be divided into two components. The first was, in a sense, a little bit of, to paraphrase it, a little bit of flag waving and say, hey, we're the GNSO Council. We're also the GNSO, and we would like you to recognize that your work feels, from our perspective, when we look at the way it was framed and we look at some of the outputs, to be very close or very strongly overlapping with our remit within the ICANN multi-stakeholder model. Therefore, we are attuned to and very sensitive to the work that you are doing. So that was really, I think, the primary goal of the initial meeting, and the output of that was a possibility of some kind of interaction. And Beth offered, in fact, to do some form of interview with me or some kind of mechanism where we got into a dialogue. I wasn't 100% comfortable. That could have been one method of going forward, but I felt there were some possible others that we needed to explore, and I wanted to digest those and come back to her. And, of course, we've had subsequent dialogue on lists, which has helped inform that as well. So at yesterday's meeting, we talked a little more, and I think we got to the point where, while they haven't made a commitment yet at this stage, I think there's a good chance that we will be able to meet with one or two members of Beth Novak's team that actually undertook much of the work from the governance lab, not from the strategy panel, but that did the underlying work. There's a prospect of meeting one or two of those people in Singapore to hear directly from them. And the engagement they've offered, which is something for us to think about, is, and I will forward something in writing to the council list on this as well, that there is an opportunity to perhaps home in on, instead of the 16, which is a pretty broad range, and as many of you have noted, very wide-ranging things they cover, and you know, thanks to Klaus for forwarding that very helpful information as well on this, it may be that the council is better off focusing in on a lesser group of those that might be more closely related to the work or the policy work within the GNSO. So that's the point there. And I just think in my mind, I've separated out. Now, I'd encourage you all to think separately about this. There are two issues here, really, as far as I can see. One is a concern with the strategy panels, the way in which they were initiated, the sort of top-down concern, to paraphrase it. And I think that question or discussion, to the extent that we propose to have it, is really one to have with Fadi and or Teresa. That's not the conversation to have with Beth Novak, the strategy panel, and or the governance lab. I think from their point of view, our engagement is with their content and to the extent that it impacts or is relevant to the work of the GNSO. So that's my two cents worth and a status update. I see John Berard has got his hand up, but I am conscious that we appointed two councillors to sort of track and keep an eye on the work of this group. So, and yet they haven't had the opportunity to hear this update that I've just given you because it was so sort of hot off the press from yesterday. So, John, I'm aware your hand is up, but I'd just like to defer to and or remind Jen and James isn't on the call, I think. Or James Fidel, is James on the call?
No, James is absent for this call. I have his proxy, but...
Proxy, okay. So James isn't available. So by all means, John, ask your question. But Jen, please put your hand up if you feel I've missed something or you'd like something to be covered. Let's hear from John your question or comment, John.
So this is John Berard for the transcript. My anxiety is driven by the fact that this call is at 3 a.m., but that's neither here nor there. The way you put it, Jonathan, that this is something that we should talk to Fadi about, reinforces in my mind the continued, as I said maybe a year ago, the executification of ICANN. I mean, it's bad enough that those of us who do not have full-time jobs focus on the buying or selling of domain names or responsibility for Internet governance. I mean, it's really hard for a part-time person to stay above the raging water at this point. And as the staff grows and the focus becomes more top-down, there's going to be even less opportunity for the community to participate, because the community, as the community becomes more professional. And so to my ear, when you say we probably should wait to talk to Fadi, you are, in fact, reinforcing the very characteristics that are driving some of our community members mad. Anyway, I offer that up. I apologize for a rant at this hour, but I think that the more we can do to foster discussion at the very broadest level of the community is really a noble purpose at this point. So I'll shut up now.
Thanks, John. And I, too, share your concern with the raging waters, if you like, or the mass of activity and the overwhelming nature of it, and try to keep on top of it. As to the other component of it, and that's the talking with Fadi, I'm not suggesting that that is in any way exclusive. I'm just suggesting that it's not an issue for the panel per se. To the extent that we want to engage with the panel and or Beth and her team, it's about the content of their work. To the extent that we want to engage with the commissioning of the panel in the first place, I suggest it would go to the commissioner. I'm not suggesting that's exclusive, but that's just to try and separate and make clear the points I was making. I see Amr's hand is up. Amr, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. This is Amr. I have a thought specifically on this panel, the one for multi-stakeholder innovation. And I guess I'm relatively new compared to the rest of the folks on council, and please correct me if I've missed something. But generally, yeah, I think the commissioning of these panels was a bit odd, and more than a bit odd, considering that it was a very top-down initiative, and it is still unclear how that will affect the GNSO PDP in any way. But clearly there is work being done to that effect. But still, I would still like to think, at least, that there are processes in place within the GNSO on how the PDP might change one way or another. For example, there is the Policy and Implementation Working Group, which is a non-PDP working group going on. There is the Standing Committee on Improvements, which is also a GNSO Council chartered committee, standing committee. And so more or less, that's where changes will probably take place, and whether we get requests or ideas from a panel like the one Beth Novak is chairing, or whether we get them directly from CEO and the board, eventually they would have to go through these processes, and they would have to go through the community with public comments and the whole series of events that normally take place. And so for that reason, I just don't feel as concerned as others are. But if I am missing something, I would love to be enlightened on this. Thanks.
Thanks, Emma, for that input as well. I mean, frankly, I think that helps frame our potential responses as well. I mean, where I think this is going, and I'd like, this is really, I guess, what I'd like to understand, and Mikey, I see your hand is up, in input from the council is, I think we have the opportunity to engage in a number of ways here, and maybe... We don't forget, at Singapore, we have the opportunity to engage with, for example, the board, the CEO, and potentially this panel. Where I'm thinking we're going from a council point of view is potentially a written response to the panel, perhaps both indicating our responses to their work, but also highlighting to them where we are already doing this kind of work, as you rightly highlight, through the SCI through our process of continuous improvement. And maybe that's a drum we need to bang in the various fora within Singapore as well. But the question I have for the council before going to Mikey is would you like me to continue down this path of getting this multi-stakeholder panel or at least representatives of those that did the work, which is really what it looks like we'll get, is from the GovLab point of view, to meet with us in Singapore and engage with us as part of our weekend sessions where we have a potential slot available for doing this. Mikey, I see your hand up has turned to a check mark of support, but your hand remains up as well. So go ahead, Mikey, and then we'll hear from Klaus.
Thanks, Jonathan. It's Mikey. There's a lot of plus ones for John in the chat, especially about the raging waters comment, and I'll just add my support for that. It's crazy right now. In terms of this one, my approach has been to engage with them as actively as I could. And so I engaged on their website. I prepared a diagram that I shared with you all on the list recently. My sense is that their work has been done largely in a vacuum. It's based on a very narrow group of people submitting comments in a not too very populated forum. The crowd of the crowdsourcing was quite small, less than 20 people, really. And I think that one possible approach, not to leave any others out, is just to sort of outperform them. And so I really support the idea of comments from us, comments from our constituencies, substantive comments with material that can influence their direction. I'm with Amr in that I think that in terms of the PDP, what I've been stressing with that group is be very careful what you do to the PDP. Try your experiments in lower risk places. And that's been falling on receptive ears. So I think there are a number of things that we can do both as individuals and as constituencies and as the council to influence this work. Thanks.
Thanks, Mikey. Points well made. Klaus.
Thank you, Jonathan. Klaus for the record. I think it is important that we make it really a distinction between the groups and the people who commission the groups. I think these groups see themselves in a position where they are the PDP making process. And I think it, Jonathan, instead of we need to engage with these groups directly and tell them this is the role of the GNSO Council and this is where things are overlapping. But I really think it should be the role of the GNSO Council to engage with the board and to engage with Fadi and say, look, what this is going on and this is our role and we need to be engaged more into that process. I think the role of contributing substantively to these groups and commenting needs to come from the constituency. And thank you for mentioning NPOC making substantive comments, but all I can say to that similar experience to Mikey, you put in a comment and it disappears into a black hole. And also, don't forget that we are engaging now in ICANN in these groups, for example, with the governance lab. And this is a very specific group of people, which has a specific approach and also needs to sustain itself, which sometimes spills over into the way they're working. So I would be very, very careful in the engagement with these groups and really make it clear, first, this is the role and this is their limits, because sometimes also reading the reports and reading the language in the reports, I've got the feeling that these groups are expecting, okay, we made a decision, now implement it, and by the way, implement it tomorrow, and if you are talking to the community about it, that's a bad thing. Thank you.
Thanks, Klaus. I take all of that on board, and I think that my two quick remarks. One is that we should target then very carefully how these different responses you and Mikey and Amar and others have talked about to the different groups and opportunities we meet. We have to meet with either Teresa, Fadi, the board, etc. in Singapore. As to the implementation of these things, I should just add for the record that in the discussion I had with Beth and her colleagues yesterday, they were very, very clear and did stress that any implementation should be done experimentally and in a laboratory-like context, not on the real live working process. But I think that's a nice concept theoretically for my two cents worth, but maybe more difficult in practice to achieve. Let me not hold up the queue now and go to Ching.
Thank you, Jonathan. I would like to weigh in with my two cents, actually, and actually 2 points. One is that, as John mentioned, that a lot of volunteering hours put into a large chunk of the workload right now on the internet governance issue. I would just also like to point out the same issue that the registry in the last Buenos Aires meetings, a group of smaller registries also get together talking about for the new GTLD program how ICANN has created us besides our operational load. We will have to deal with a lot of changes and also missing deadlines, also a lot of policy requirements from ICANN. Even lots of new GTLD, they are still small, most of them probably still in debt, and also they are still taking their baby step to grow the business. And now with the internet governance issue, that puts a lot of smaller new GTLD registries, their lifeline in the question mark. So I simply like to point this out. It's not just an issue for a lot of committed volunteers in our community, but also for the registries and the smaller registrars, I'm assuming as well. So that's one. The second point I would like to make is actually now we are actually seeing is that ICANN is really, representing all our voices. Should other people outside ICANN talk to, would they have a chance to have a dialogue with each individual constituency or group? I think in the last few months, some of us in the community and probably some of you have shared the same concern is that ICANN is trying to represent all of us here in one voices. And the fact is that from time to time we take different angles, we have different thoughts, and through ICANN as a platform we reach a consensus. But still, it is different groups and constituency to enable ICANN to become a diverse and more inclusive, organization. But I would like to actually point one thing is that, and the message is that I believe that it is time that maybe from many of our constituency to engage. Taking the ICANN bigger umbrella out, but trying to engage with the outside world If we can, just to so we're, we can ensure that our voices are heard. We are not probably really want to do so, but because at this stage I can put us in the position of this kind of awkwardness, so maybe it's time for us, some of the constituency, to voice out in the individual capacity. That's my 2 cents. Thanks.
Thanks, Ching. I've got Volker and then Alan coming up after Volker. I think we'll have to close this item at that point. Volker, please go ahead.
Thank you, Jonathan. Volker speaking. I would like to blow into the same horn that Klaus was blowing into earlier with regards to strategy panels. I believe that the subject matter of the strategy panels is well worth discussing. I can probably needs reform, needs to evolve, needs to adapt, and at least needs to look at itself to find out if there's anything that can be changed. And it's also, I also think that it might be helpful to have an outside influence or an outside voice doing that analysis, at least preliminary, so I can have a bit of a view of the how the outside sees itself, sees it. However, I think this effort should have come in the ICANN way as a multi-stakeholder bottom-up process, and therefore strategy panels as they exist today have a bit of a birth defect because of them having been birthed by a CEO initiative. That does not mean that we shouldn't work with them. I think the work that is being done is valuable, and now that they exist, we have to arrange ourselves with them, but we shouldn't be different. We need to be assertive of our role and be very clear about what discussion points we think are actually a mandate of the GNSO or the GNSO Council. And when we give advice, that should not be seen as a simple public comment from any other stakeholder group, but rather that comparable to that of the GAC when it comes to our mandate. That's my 2 cents.
That's helpful, and it's a timely reminder, Volker, for me as well. That helps in terms of prefacing any input we might give. And I see a check mark from Anna in respect to that as well. It's high-quality contributions for all of you, so it's much appreciated. It helps guide, I think, the council and me. Alan.
Thank you. My comment's not all that far away from Volker's. And the comment is specifically with regard to the multi-stakeholder strategic panel. I think it's important to remember that they were put in place to make suggestions about the multi-stakeholder model and about the ICANN model. So we need to be careful not to focus comments on, essentially, don't mess with the GNSO. This is our role and this is how we do it, or the ALAC or at large, whatever, because they've been asked to, suggest perhaps alternatives to what we're doing. Unfortunately, they've done this in a rather uninformed way in my mind and, invoked the current poster child crowdsourcing for everything. So I think we need to make sure that we're not coming off as defensive and that we cannot change, because they were asked to suggest change or possible change, but it has to be done in an informed way, and it has to meet the ultimate needs of why the GNSO, for instance, is here today. The current model may not be the one we want in the future, but we cannot dispense with the motivation and the requirements of what the GNSO or its replacement must satisfy. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan, and thanks all of you. That's very, very high quality contribution, and it's something that I've been grappling with as well, is how to provide critical input at all levels without appearing to be defensive, and I think that's a challenge that remains, but certainly I'm very encouraged by the quality of the discussion and the contribution here, so that's helpful. I think we'll pick this up on list. I will let Teresa Swinehart know, who's really the key coordinator on Fadi's staff with respect to these strategy panels, that, the discussion that's gone on with Beth, the discussion that's gone on with the council, and, maybe there'll be some further dialogue about how we most effectively engage with both the panels and or the board and or Fadi on issues of their commissioning and future work, and indeed our own willingness to evolve and develop. So that's all very, very helpful. Well, fortunately for you, and possibly for me as well, item 7 is an item which I spoke with, much as I'm very involved in the work of the GNSO engagement with the GAC and this engagement group on policy development processes. I specifically asked Amer, who is one of the group members, if he would be so kind as to give you an update as to where this is going. And this is really just an opportunity to make sure the Council remains engaged with this important piece of work, and you will be well aware that this is about ensuring that, insofar as it's possible, GAC advice and GAC input doesn't come too late in the process, and the early engagement of the GAC in the policy work of the GNSO is taken as early as appropriate and possible. And this really stems from a recommendation of ATRT1, but I think is connected to probably output of ATRT2, and indeed something which many in the community would likely see as important and or necessary. So let me hand over to you, Anna, to give a sort of status update as to where we are and where this is likely to go, and then we can take any Q&A on that.
All right, thanks, Jonathan. This is Amr. I'll try to go through this as quickly as possible and still try to give a good idea about where we are. This group, which we are calling a consultation group, was formed directly following the Buenos Aires meeting. It consists of 6 councillors and 6 members of the GAC. And right now, as of now, we have finalized the charter for this consultation group, which is posted on the Connect room in front of you. And this charter basically spells out what the problem is when it comes to GAC engagement with GNSO policy and why it is a problem and how it could be a problem for GTLD policy and ICANN in general, and what are the steps, in broad strokes, so we as a consultation group agreed to take in order to address these issues and encourage earlier engagement in the PDP process by the GAC. 2 documents pretty much came into being as a result of this charter and addressing its issues. 1 covering possible inputs by the GAC within the process at large, which is, say, sort of mapping out the GNSO PDP and the different points within the PDP at which the GAC can engage. And I'm guessing we need to pretty much work out mechanisms by which that can be made possible, because the option was always present, just it was never used. And GAC have mainly mainly reverted to providing advice to the board after policy has been made, has been developed through the GNSO process. The second track is more focusing on the day-to-day operations and day-to-day interaction between the GNSO Council and other members of the GNSO, select members that we discussed, and the GAC, and how that can be done. And I think that's worth taking a closer look at right now, because there are 6 main points that were described in this. One of them is the actual is having a GNSO liaison to the GAC that would be able to participate in GAC meetings even as an observer, but still have the right to ask for the floor to have interventions or just give updates or feedback on discussions going on in GAC meetings. And this liaison would also be pretty well suited to report back to the GNSO Council on what the GAC is thinking regarding certain policies, especially those that the GAC see as issues with the public policy implications. Another point was regular calls, monthly calls between the GAC chair and the GNSO chair. So this would be up to Jonathan and the GAC chair to organize and see if they could get that done. And the third one would be what we have called topic lead buddy systems, which is basically you have two leads, one from the GAC and one from the GNSO, identified for each GNSO PDP, which might have some form of interest to the GAC, whether because of public policy implications or otherwise. And it was also suggested that this GNSO counterpart could also participate in GAC meetings on demand. Rethinking the actual substance in joint GAC-GNSO meetings was the fourth item outlined in the day-to-day operations. And this was just sort of to also have the liaisons present and have the groups both available to discuss ongoing PDPs and upcoming ones where there might be an interest for the GAC, and sort of just have the dialogue going on between the two groups. And also have topic leads in the WADI system sort of give updates on the activities that are ongoing. The fifth point would be to further develop and expand early awareness and notification notices. This would be sort of a way to address the other track, which is the overall mapping of the PDP and where GAC could interact more actively with the GNSO PDP and try to just make sure that they know, okay, this is where we are with this PDP. Do you want to submit a comment on the issue report? Do you want to submit a comment on the initial working group report or the charter drafting? And just make sure they know that this is going on and they could provide input they need that could be taken into consideration during the process. And the last point on the day-to-day operations would be a group of existing PDP liaisons interacting with GAC and sort of having perhaps like a joint mailing list between the liaisons of the council to the different PDP working groups and making sure that GAC also has access to them and they have access to GAC and what their perspectives are on different policies. And it's just another way of bringing the council and the GAC closer together. So these are basically the two tracks we discussed and thought might be worth getting deeper into. And the first item, I guess, that we will probably take action on is deciding on how and whether to appoint a GNSO council liaison to the GAC. And I believe that we have already submitted a request for funding in case this is someone who is a former GNSO counselor rather than a current one, in order to increase the likelihood of him or her being able to actually participate in GAC meetings. And there will be a presentation of what this consultation group has done and achieved in this period in Singapore. So this is just sort of to let the community know what we're doing and where we're going with this and what we've already gotten done. Apart from that, I'm not sure if there's anything else Jonathan or Mikey or Brian or any of the other folks or David would like to add. A few days ago, I did post a request renewing, trying to renew interest in developing a wiki page for this group, and so far there doesn't seem to be much disagreement on this, and hopefully that will be a good resource to also allow reporting on both sides, both within the GAC and the GNSO. Thanks.
Thanks, Sama. And as far as I know, that wiki page is now going ahead, and I think Marika has confirmed that in the chat I expect that it's likely to go ahead in any event. Are there any other comments from those in the group? I think that was a good summary, and really this is work in progress, clearly, and the idea being that it's a sufficiently critical and important track of work that the council needs to be appraised of it and ensure that to the extent that the group appears to be going off track or that there are any comments and input on it. And I guess we're working on a slightly unorthodox way. This isn't being run via a standard PDP process. So I'm conscious that therefore it's very important that the council is continuously appraised of the work, and it naturally is by virtue of the fact that there are a representative and significant number of councillors on the group, and we will keep you informed. But any questions, comments, or additions to that which Amar has said already? Yeah, Marika points out that, just an important but subtle point here is that the application for funding of a prospective liaison from the GNSO to the GAC is a preemptive application in the event that the group does decide that this is the best method, and that's then ratified by the GAC and the GNSO. So it doesn't prejudge that outcome, but simply prepares for that eventuality, noting that, in essence, the funding request could be withdrawn, but it's rather better to put it in preemptively than to not have done so at all and then find out. Mikey.
Thanks, Jonathan. It's Mikey. Wanted to thank Amr for a great summary, but I also want to point out that Amr ran through a lot of proposals that are in front of this committee, but those proposals are being evaluated right now. So just to sort of amplify what Jonathan and Marika are saying in the chat, we have a firm charter that's in front of you in the Adobe room. We have some pretty good in-progress work, but we do not have proposals yet. We have ideas that we are refining. So don't come away with the sense that this is all done. Thanks.
Yes, good point, Mikey, and that goes to this point of keeping the council updated, perhaps in a more granular way than we might otherwise do with the work of a normal working group or similar. But yes, thank you for emphasizing that. Right, I think we've got a little bit of a time constraint. It's not desperate, but seeing no other hands, I think we can draw a line under this item and know that the council and the GNSO, by virtue of the recordings and transcripts of this, is informed of the work of this group. Our next item is another standing item, which is this, or it has become somewhat of a standing item, this forthcoming review of the GNSO. Now, I'm not sure that there is any particular update ahead of a more discussion in Singapore on the back of any sort of written output that might come out from the Structural Improvements Committee, but let me give Jennifer Wolfe, who's tracking this for us, the opportunity to just either confirm that and or provide any additional update we might need. So let me hand over to you, Jen, without further ado.
Thank you, Jonathan. You're right, there hasn't been any updates since our last meeting. We're still waiting for Ray and the SIC to report back on what the official procedure will be, whether they will be officially forming this advisory group, and how they'll be selecting membership for that group. The only update I think that we could report, Jonathan, was that we did receive a copy of a letter sent by the Brand Registry Group to Ray, asking that if there was such a council or advisory committee appointed, that they would have the right to participate in that. But again, nothing has been formalized, so until we see something more formally submitted, I don't know that there's a lot for us to do. Once that happens, of course, we'll ramp up and be prepared to look at our own self-review running in tandem with the external audit that will be started hopefully sometime in the next few months.
Thanks, Jennifer. Yeah, and so do you have, is there the specific knowledge that or input that we are expecting any form of document to be published ahead of the Singapore meeting by the SRC? Are you aware of a confirmation of that, or is that something we just might anticipate? Just wondering what we'll have to get our teeth into by the time Singapore comes along.
I don't know if it will be out before Singapore. I just reached out again yesterday to Larissa on staff, who's coordinating this, and I didn't get a response back from her. So I expect that she doesn't have an answer yet. So we don't know definitively. But, yes, I would think sometime either right before Singapore or during Singapore we should have something more formal.
Thanks, Jennifer. I see Marika has her hand up. So go ahead, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. I also checked in with Larissa, and the latest I heard that they don't expect anything to be published before Singapore. We keep on checking in with them to make sure once we have a date or a more clear timeline that we can provide that information to the council. But at this stage, it's not the expectation that anything will be published for public input prior to Singapore.
All right. So let's, given that there doesn't seem to be a substantial update on this at the moment, let's not spend any more time on us unless there's another comment or question that I don't see at this stage. So I think that gives us the opportunity to move on then to item 9, which is an opportunity to discuss our planning and latest draft agenda for Singapore. So I think this is really being led by David. So let me hand over to David, who seems to be doing a good job of pulling together a schedule at this point, and then we can come in with any questions, comments, or refinements, although that has been active on list as well, so thank you for that. David, I'm not sure if you want to make any remarks prior to us opening up for questions or comments on this.
Yep, thank you, Jonathan. Just initially?
Yes, please go ahead if you would like to, if you have anything to add.
Yep, the main thing I want to say is I really, please imagine that the draft bit is in big capital letters. This is very much a draft. We can still move things around. Pretty much the interaction with senior staff is probably difficult to change much at this point, or rather they might change it, but it's probably harder for us. But I very much open to discussion on everything else. One of the issues, of course, is that once we even allocate even 15 minutes for each working group, which isn't a lot of time, that does fill up a lot of the, particularly the Saturday schedule. But I'd very much like to hear some comments, and not just on what's there, but also suggestions for the, to go dig a little deeper and say what people would like to discuss in particular topics, and should we give guidance to senior staff at this point, and so on. I'd also like to just take this opportunity to provide the question John Barad posed on the list about he specifically asked for some interaction with the multi-stakeholder panel, and was his suggestion sort of considered? And the answer essentially is I did look into it on discovering that the panel would not be there, and we would really be interacting with them only in a very limited way. I then we decided to move to basically have that session centred around Teresa Swinehart. But if you would like to and try and see if we can get particularly Beth Novak in for to talk to the council directly, it's certainly not too late to do that. So.
Okay, David, just to come in on that, though, a couple of key points there. First of all, with respect to Teresa's session and the strategy panels and so on, I think there's clearly two key areas that we'll probably be wanting to talk to Teresa and Fadi. It's pretty clear to me that those are already coming up, and that is, the strategy panels, their role and their future input, and to the extent that we want to look backwards, any issues in and around their commissioning. Beth is definitely not going to be there based on my conversation with her last night, but I have flagged with them our 11:30 Sunday session, and that is where we have the opportunity to engage with members of her team on specific suggestions that came out of their work for the panel. With regard to content in our meetings with the board and with Fadi, that's something I'll be picking up with the council and driving and making sure that our strategic session, our content with the board and our content with Fadi is
absolutely
communicated.
I thought we already have on the schedule discussion, as normal, that we'll discuss as a council how we talk to the board and Fadi. I was thinking more if people would like to give some guidance at this point for what specific things we might get Teresa or Cyrus, or for that matter, there has been quite a bit of discussion early on about our interaction with ESAC, for example, and would people like to have discussions about how we should handle the format for that that meeting.
Right. Certainly on list, and to the extent that it's possible. I must say, what I've typically done prior to the meetings is also reached out to Steve and Steve Crocker and Fari, and I'll definitely communicate with Teresa over my discussions with Beth yesterday. So I'll keep you and the council posted, and of course we can pick these things up on lists. I did see Mikey's hand was up. Mikey, I don't know if you wanted to comment or come in on anything that David had said there, or if that's now dropped.
This is Mikey. Just very quickly, a couple of ideas. The IRTPD session is a half an hour. If you need a little time, David, I think we could easily shorten that to 15 minutes because we've got a public forum for that working group that will be quite a bit more extensive. And the other one that you could probably drop from this is the data and metrics for policymaking. There's 15 minutes at 11 on Saturday. We're just barely going to be off the ground. We may have a chair. That's about it. So if there won't be much of an update for that one. So there are a couple of slots that you could play with if you need the time.
Thank you.
All right, noting the response from Marika in the chat there, Mikey, to that as well. So we just need to balance those things. But I think that's the kind of trimming we can do on list, and that's very helpful because – David's rightly pointed out that that's a full day, and I know there have been concerns running up to this point by Mikey, yourself, and others that we don't simply want to pack this full of working group updates for the sake of it. We need to make sure that this is of value to the working groups, the council, and the GNSO attendees of the session. So that's useful. Any other comments or questions for David or for the council or suggestions as we work towards this, interactively work towards nailing down both the structure and content of the Singapore agenda? All right, good. Well, David, I'm pretty encouraged. I hope others are as well. I think it's taking shape, and I'm sure we're going to get there to have a productive and well-structured meeting. So I'm pretty positive about where we are at this stage. So thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm certainly looking in. I think we could certainly. There's a lot to talk about in the strategy panels area. So we might, if we do, that's certainly one area we might still add a bit more. But I'd like to. Mikey had sort of quite a lot of good suggestions early on, including trying to find some things where we may not end up sitting down for the entire day, as Mikey has complained of previously. So we'll see what we can do. All right. Thank you for everyone. And said it's definitely a draft, and we still certainly can move around these sort of internal the items that mostly involve the GNSO itself at this point quite a bit. So. Feel free to comment. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, David. Right. So closing off item 9 then, we can move on to item 10, which somewhat unusually has a number of points in it, although hopefully they won't take too long to go through. The first is a reminder that this item 10 is any other business, and I know, Amma, you put something onto that as a bullet, as an item early on in the course of this meeting. So the first is to remind you that we have in train a couple of community budget requests for which there is a deadline of, Marika just reminded us in the chat, of the 7th of March, one of which was what we discussed under the item 8, which is this preemptive application for funding, travel funding for a reverse or a liaison from the GNSO to the GAC. I'm not sure if there's anything else to be said about this. I'm struggling a little bit on this. Are there any other comments that someone can help me with, either from struggling a little bit. I don't want to create radio silence on this. I may come back to the community budget request if there are any comments or issues on that. I'm not so sure how much we've discussed with this. The second item on our any other business items is that the non-contracted parties house is, I believe, in the process of working through a selection procedure for ICANN board seed 14. To remind those of you, the GNSO nominates two board members for the ICANN board, and these need, as part of the process, a council ratification. Now, it appears that this is not going to fit in with our regular council meeting schedule, so we may need to have an additional meeting, and really what the purpose of this item is to create a placeholder for that and ensure that this is in place. So I guess what the request here is, and we should complete this additionally on list, Glenn, is to make sure that you're aware of why this meeting may need to take place and the proposed timing of it. So, Glenn, if we could make sure that we do communicate this in writing on the list as well, that would be helpful.
Yes, I'll do that, Jonathan.
Thank you, Glenn. The next item is really just that can someone help me with this? Root Server Advisory Committee presence in Singapore. I know the Root Server Advisory Committee has reached out and indicated that they will be present. I don't believe, David, that we've got them scheduled, or have we got them scheduled? I'm just trying to remind myself if we've already got some kind of interaction.
We have not scheduled any specific interaction with RSAT, no.
Thanks, David.
They do have a session for the community. If anyone does want, I mean, that's one of the things. If anyone had suggested that we should meet with them, we would try and put it on the schedule, but no one has so far. So.
Thanks, David. I think the primary point here is to note that they are present, which is not necessarily guaranteed, and there is a session. Marika, I see your hand is up.
Yes, this is Marika. That was indeed the RSEC meets for the first time, I think, since I don't know how many ICANN meetings, at an ICANN meeting together. So they've basically reached out to the different parts of the community to see if there's any interest in having a face-to-face meeting. But apart from that, they are having a public session on Monday afternoon, and I want to say, I think, 1:30 to 2:30, but I think that's something that's to be confirmed. So, there is that opportunity as well to interact. So it's basically for the council to decide whether you think there is a need or a desire to have a face-to-face interaction with the RSEC at this stage, or whether it's sufficient to just encourage members, if they're interested, to have a dialogue to attend that open meeting on Monday.
Thanks, Marika. Now, that's helpful. So that's really an information point. Next point is, under this any other business schedule, is that the meeting strategy working group has prepared their recommendations, which are now available for public comment. And to the extent that, the council clearly meets at each ICANN meeting and indeed facilitates the so-called GNSO working sessions over the weekend, ICANN meetings are pretty important to our working, and so I think there's two points here. First of all, encourage you all to have a look and make sure you're familiar with the working group recommendations, and to the extent that you feel it's appropriate, to then advocate for and contribute to any council response we may want to make to that. So I think what we'll do is send a reminder to the council that this is available, and then we'll ask you to pick up on that and decide whether it makes sense to respond to the public comment request here on behalf of the council. Final point then, Emma, you wanted to raise something at the outset, so let me just hand that directly over to you then, an item under any other business.
Thanks, Jonathan. This is Amar. I was just hoping for some clarification regarding the GTLD registration, GTLD registration services expert working group, and what the post expert working group PDP would entail, and particularly the issue report for that PDP. Is the issue report going to basically be the final report of the expert working group? And if so, will there be an additional chance for public comment on an initial issue report before there's a final issue report or not? It's just that the process is unclear to me, and I would appreciate any feedback I can get on that. Thanks. Sorry, this is Amr again. I would also like to ask whether this would be just one PDP or are there thoughts on maybe more than one PDP coming out as a result of the S4 group's work? Thanks.
Thanks, Sama. I believe Marika may be in a position to answer that.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think it's important to separate out the two things where, on the one hand, you'll have the EWG report or final report or whatever they're going to title it, which they are working on, and I think the expectation is to have that, you know, by London time frame, which presumably at that point may also go out for another round of public comment before that is submitted to the board, who will then consider it. Then the idea is once those recommendations are done and the board says, yes, this is what we intended to be part of the PDP, it will then go back to the GNSO Council, where there is already actually a preliminary issue report that has been prepared and published some time back. So the idea is at that point when those recommendations are final, they will feed into that final issue report, which will then be submitted to the GNSO Council. As this is a board-initiated PDP, there is no intermediate vote. However, you know, it's at that stage up to the Council to decide how to divide that work. If you would decide that, you know, there should be maybe some parallel tracks looking at these issues, or you know, whether it's all one package, but in principle it's one PDP at this stage. But, of course, it doesn't prevent you from, you know, splitting up some of the work within the PDP, for example, through the charter development process. But I think that's where the things currently stand. So I'm hoping that answers your question.
Thanks, Marika. This is Amr. So just to be clear, once the final issue report does come to Council, there will or there will not be an opportunity for further public comments.
This is Marika. In principle, there is no public comment on the final issue report, but obviously I think if there's a, you know, desire from the Council to do so, it can be done. But, you know, just to point out, the issue report itself is not about you know, debating whether the EWG recommendations are right or wrong or whether that should be changed. That's something that will happen in the PDP itself. You know, the issue report is merely about making sure that we've gathered all the information and have laid out all the issues that need to be considered. You know, what the Council at that stage may want to discuss or consider is, you know, once you start a PDP and you believe that indeed input on the value or the information provided by the EWG is needed as part of the PDP, that you do a public comment form at the start of the PDP process, as the working group has already been formed, for example. But again, I think it's something at the time when, you know, EWG finalizes its report, and as well the direction that will come from the board in that regard, I think at that point, you know, staff can discuss as well with the Council what would make the most sense, if we just, you know, integrate it into the final issue report and, you know, move ahead, or whether there's indeed an intermediate step that is considered helpful, you know, before it launches into the working group phase.
Thanks, Marika.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry to cut across, Yama. That sounds like you've got the answer you needed. Thank you very much, Marika. I'm just remembered the going back to the community budget requests item under this AOB, and really the important thing here was to make sure the Council was updated that there are a couple of requests that I'm expecting that we will submit, and those relate to two points. One, we had the Council development session, which was an induction for new councils and a development session that we held in Buenos Aires. The feedback from you all was universally pretty positive, and I think the likelihood is that could potentially become an annual item. In the absence of it being a scheduled and funded regular item, we need to make a budget request for that. So that is one item that I propose to submit and plan to do so unless there's significant concern or opposition. The other is that both as a suggestion from the, I think it was from ATRT2, and also indeed it's something I think we're considering within the PDP improvements, is to look at either face-to-face PDP meetings, which potentially, should they be on intractable or difficult issues, involve some form of facilitation. So it's the face-to-face and potentially facilitation, and that's really an experiment. This is not decided point, but in order to undertake the experiment, to try it within a working group, we need to apply for funding for that. So that's a second, if you like, ad hoc or community-based funding request that I propose that we make. So that's really for your information, but also an opportunity to, I guess, comment or give feedback on that if there are any concerns. Mikey.
Just a reminder of the placeholder for the GAC GNSO liaison slot. Does that go into that request as well?
Yeah, each one of those, I mentioned two items, Mikey, and that would be a third, which, yes, there would be a third submission, so that they wouldn't all get rolled into one. There will, in effect, be three community financing, community budget requests.
You're right, that's all. I just wanted to get that one in there, too.
Yeah, great. It hasn't been forgotten. Right, well, my sincere apologies. I have been relying on a clock, which is on my PC, which is suddenly updated. It was running 2 minutes before the hour, and it's suddenly taken an update and told me I'm 8 minutes past the hour. So normally, as you know, I would be diligent in keeping up to time. So sincere apologies that we've run over. That's just one of those things. I apologize. It looks like we've come to a natural end anyway, but I'm sorry that I let it run over. My clock was out of sync for some reason. Thank you all. We'll see each other face-to-face in Singapore and no doubt be in touch online in the meantime.
Thanks, Jonathan. Bye-bye.
Thank you all.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye to everyone.
Thank you, Jonathan. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks.